Halloween night, 1975. A mysterious stranger in a dazzling white suit enters a popular nightclub in southwest San Antonio. He joins in the revelry and wows the assembled crowd with his impeccable dancing skills, stealing center stage on the dance floor. It doesn't take long, however, for the other dancers to notice something terrifyingly wrong about the newcomer. Not only is the stranger not wearing shoes, but his feet are those of a chicken, or in some versions of the story, goat's hooves. What happens next bears close resemblance to another, much older folktale, dating back to before San Antonio was even a place on the map. Join us tonight as we ask ourselves, what happened on Halloween night in 1975? Why is it still talked about almost 50 years later? And is there more to this than mere urban legend? That's today on Hey Strangeness.
Do you have congested ghosts?
Hey!
Are you up all night long listening to ghost coughs and ghost sneezes? Then try Ghost Blow. Ghost Blow is the only decongestant clinically proven to be effective against ectoplasmic mucus. I couldn't get no sleep due to the carrying on of my ghosts. Now, I sleep like a baby. Thank you, Ghost Blow. Paid testimonial, not a real customer. Order today, and you'll sleep like the dead. Ghost Blow, from the makers of Chupacabra Chow.
Warning, Ghost Blow is not safe for use by living humans. Do not handle, purchase, or look at Ghost Blow at any time. Ghost Blow will kill you. Do not use Ghost Blow if you are not already dead.
Welcome to Hey Strangeness, a strange podcast about strange things made by strange people. Really, probably one strange person and one person who's not as strange. My name is Aaron. I am one of your hosts. Sitting across the coffee table converted to a recording studio from me is Sarah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
You look nice. And today we're talking about a local San Antonio legend, very specific, or maybe not very specific, to Southwest Texas.
I was going to say, I don't think I've really heard of it. I heard the story mentioned specifically, like, outside of, or by non-Texans, or
okay,
at least non-Southern Texans.
Okay. We'll get to that in a little bit. But for now, I'd really like to talk about the locality of this story. Tell me, Sarah, as someone who grew up in the neighborhood where this is purported to have taken place. Well, just, like, let me not ruin it. Tell us about this story as it relates to your growing up and your proximity to you, and I'm just going to shut up and let you talk about it.
I feel like I first heard about it when I was in middle school as kind of a, you know, don't go near that building. I don't think I heard about the, like, actual devil sighting until I was a little bit older when
okay.
My mom kind of explained that it, she kind of used the words evil more than she used the word devil before. You know, to explain why I shouldn't go there. But at that point, it was a strip club.
Okay.
So that was already, like, an adult type building that I couldn't even, like, go to if I were, until I was of age.
So stories about potentially shape-shifting dancers aside, this was not a location that local people considered to be a safe or reputable.
Oh, no,
place.
Not at all.
Okay.
No, we were always told growing up, you know, if we were running around the neighborhoods, we just could not go to that building, go down that street, because I think it was, like, maybe four blocks from my house.
That's what I was going to say. I'd like to tell everyone how close you grew up to the site of... Have we even said the name of the nightclub yet?
No, I don't think we have.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was called when it was a strip club, but when the devil sighting happened, it was called El Camaroncito.
El Camaroncito. Which, what does that mean? Do we know what that means?
Camaron is like a shellfish or like shrimp, crab, or no, not crab, sorry. But I believe it's a shellfish. Because camaron is oh man, I'm like blanking now.
I mean, Google it if you need to.
No, I will. I am.
I'm curious. But yeah, most recently, this building or this location operated under the name the 411, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, shrimp. Camaron is shrimp, so shellfish. I don't know what camaroncito means, like little shrimp.
Cito. So yeah, this was a fairly popular dance slash nightclub slash bar. on the road formerly known as Old Highway 90.
I think now it's called, like, Enrique Barrera.
Enrique Barrera Parkway. Parkway. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's named for a police officer. I feel like it's Sergeant Enrique
I think it
Barrera,
is. Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. So if you're going to visit this place today, don't look for Old Highway
90. It's so weird because Google has it listed as an open bar.
It does. It does. So if you look up El Camaroncito on Google Maps, it lists it as an operational business. Yeah. Pretty interesting.
But don't go there. And don't go inside there. Please.
Well, if you want to go there, we can't say don't go there because we went there.
But don't go there at night, or don't go there without at least some... there could be squatters. There's most likely squatters.
There almost definitely are. There are multiple entrances to this building, which from the outside kind of looks like a bunker. Right?
Yeah. There's no windows.
No windows.
No windows in the front at all. It's completely, like, walled off.
And the windows that are there are very high up, and they are on the sides and back of the building, and they were probably only installed to accommodate window air conditioning units.
Yes, most likely. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Now, when we visited this building... fairly recently, I'd say within the last 60 days, there was a lot of graffiti on the exterior.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see some pictures on our Instagram feed. I posted them a while ago, but I'll repost them to feed in conjunction with this episode.
And I wonder now, thinking back, because the graffiti was very spiritual, because remember it just said God on the front
it
door.
It did.
And that's, like, really interesting because I have not lived in San Antonio for the last 6+ years of my adult life. So I really don't know what the current, like, status is in the neighborhood. Like, I don't know what the neighborhood, I don't know what the neighborhood is telling the current generation of kids growing up there. Like, I don't know if you know what I mean, the people that I knew living 2 streets away are still telling their kids, like, hey, don't go there. Don't mess with that area.
Well, I may have a little bit of data regarding the modern neighborhood and how people feel about this story. Not too long ago, let's see, May 20th is when I recorded this video on my phone. Your birthday. I specifically signed up for this Facebook group because you had to be a member in order to read comments, and this comment thread had 70 plus by the time I stumbled across it. And someone basically asked, does anyone remember a story about a dancing devil at a nightclub in San Antonio? And tons of comments by the time I got to it. It took me 2 minutes to record the entire comment thread, just like scrolling down here. But all of these overlapping comments and people corroborating the story. At the Camaroncito, I wonder if it ever stopped anyone. At the Camaroncito, my parents told me it was at a bar named La Quebradita?
Where are you?
La Quebradita?
Huh. Interesting. I don't know if that's how you spell it and what it's called now.
Well, then someone else says El Camaroncito on Highway 90. It was El Camaroncito on Highway 90. Yep, the devil appeared in the Camaroncito dance hall dressed as a woman. See, that's the only comment I found where the devil was dressed as a woman. That's kind of interesting.
Okay.
Someone links to the Snopes article concerning the story, which we're going to talk about shortly. 2 minutes of me just slowly scrolling through this comment thread with people corroborating this story. Mentioning the same location, the same nightclub, over and over and over again. And then you actually get into a couple places where people are mentioning other locations in San Antonio where this is alleged to have taken place. Down on Brazos Road, down on Old Zarzamora. There's a place mentioned a few times, La Gloria Dance Hall. So it's interesting because this set of events overlaps into multiple stories, multiple locations. What do you think about that? I mean, you grew up in this neighborhood. You know this town.
Well, so I had heard there's another possibility of this happening at a club on Marbach. So, like, definitely rooted in San Antonio, but I've heard of a possible other bar that this could have happened at on Marbach Road. I don't know the names of them at this point, but I have heard that it was either El Camaroncito. Or this other place on Marbach that had similar stories. I think the one on Marbach was a woman.
Okay, so that's you've heard the story about it being a woman as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we've got a fourth location here. Yes, I heard
Military.
It was a place on Somerset and Military Drive, which it
I
is
feel like
restaurant.
The El Camaroncito is the most common one that's used, but I've only heard of those two. I didn't know there was two others.
Yeah. Well, we've got four potential locations, and then we've got two potential incarnations of the creature, quote unquote, itself.
Mm-hmm.
Really three, because some of them are goat hooves, some of them are chicken feet.
Yeah.
So very interesting. Very interesting. I haven't contacted any of the people that posted these comments, so I'm not going to share their names or anything like that, but just as I'm continuing to scroll through this video I have saved on my phone, the stories just continue to overlap. El Camaroncito, it was the Gloria on Laredo, Highway 90 Camaroncito, like just people repeating the same things over and over again.
Yeah.
So this is a legend which is still very much alive.
Yep.
In the, I guess, the zeitgeist.
That's what I said. I don't know what the current, you know what I mean? People that are my age, they're in their 30s that have children that still live in that neighborhood. I don't know what they're telling their children about this building. Because like I said, right, I mean, when I was in high school and in middle school, it was a strip club. And I mean, like, I still remember like the signs that would talk about XXX and you know, the Monday morning or the breakfast buffets.
I was going to say, even free, as recently,
like,
just
we couldn't go near it.
Yeah. Like 6 years ago, cause I started driving around that side of town to come see you, you know,
10 plus years ago.
Yeah. And I remember pretty distinctly, probably fairly recently, 6 or so years ago, there being a sign out there that said free pancake buffet. And, and actually, the last time we drove by, I paid a little bit more attention to the grounds around the building itself. And the sign that says the 411 mm-hmm. is still out there.
Yeah, I saw that. I did notice that last time when I went by myself.
So most recently, this place was known as the 411. But Google Maps still lists it as El Camaroncito. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Sarah, what would you say if I told you that this legend might be not only older than 1975, but older than San Antonio itself?
That wouldn't be surprising to me at all, because it's, I mean, if it does, I don't want to say if it did happen, because I kind of do believe it did happen.
Something happened.
If we're rooting something in the devil, I mean, the devil is just as old as we can assume as Jesus Christ. So, I mean, you'd have to be talking about something that is very old, very thousands and thousands of years.
Something
old,
primordial.
Basically.
Okay. So, I'm just going to kick a couple things around here. Have you ever heard of the Hellfire Club?
Yes.
And I don't mean the book by Jake Tapper.
No. Well, I think, no, I heard of Hellfire Club first through Scariest Places on Earth, because I think they did an episode where they talk about the Hellfire Club in Ireland, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Would you like to briefly summarize what the Hellfire Club was?
I don't know if I can detail it that well. Isn't it just like some people that believed in the devil and worshipped him and...
Yeah.
You know, did this in caves out in Ireland.
I just burped. I hope that didn't
That's probably like the most basic explanation I could give.
That's basically all I
okay.
was gonna say. Yeah,
I don't think I can speak more
into it. A bunch of Irish guys got together.
It was only men, right?
I think so.
Okay.
Well, most things prior
well, no,
to
I
a
know.
Couple hundred years ago
well, no,
were only
I
men
know.
Because,
yes, this is true.
You know, the systemic oppression of women throughout the history of
humankind
permeates every culture. And
yes.
So I'm sure Ireland wasn't exempt from it. But anyway, back in the 1500s, a bunch of guys got together and decided, you know what, there's plenty of churches. Let's make one for Satan. And they would get together.
So they are technically classified as a Church of Satan?
Okay, so I don't know.
Oh,
I'm not going to say that for sure because there's so much conjecture and gossip surrounding even the concept of the Hellfire Club. Like, it's
Dude,
arguable
man.
That they could possibly have not existed. But we know that they did. Like, we know that they existed. We just don't know exactly how deep the black magic, satanic, evil stuff goes. Like, for all we know, this was a bunch of guys that got together and drank Sculthine a couple times a week. Are you familiar with Sculthine?
Fuck no. What the fuck is that?
Hot whiskey mixed with melted butter.
Okay.
So they would drink this.
Hot whiskey.
Yeah, sounds horrible.
With butter.
Never saying anything bad about hot whiskey. My first chat room name was Hot Whiskey.
On AOL.
On AOL.
That's showing a quote. Your age. You're showing your age.
If you can DM us with the show that quote is from, I'll send you $5 for a coffee or something. But anyway, so these guys would get together and they would indulge in hedonism, and there were different stories about them allegedly sacrificing a cat, possibly a human sacrifice, possibly more than one human sacrifice, at least one member of the group was known to be an actual serial killer. He was a rich man who murdered a couple of his servants, and they could have been slaves. I don't want to downplay that. It's in the 1500s, so.
Yeah.
A very rich man who murdered a couple of his either servants or slaves. I'm not sure which. And it was known that he did this, but because he was a rich white man in the 1500s, nothing happened to him. So, you know. So it's known that people did die in connection with members of this group, but it's not known if they really committed acts of human sacrifice or satanism or satanic guga, whatever. But specifically, the story we're referring to, one night, Hellfire Club's hanging out, doing their Hellfire Club stuff, and a strange man comes, knocks on the door, says, "Hey, I'd like to come in here and hang out with you evil men." I don't know how the dialogue went back then. So this guy comes in, he starts hanging out with them, you know, with the Hellfire Club, doing Hellfire Club stuff. When all of a sudden, one of the other club members looks under the table and notices there's something wrong with this guy. Would you like to guess as to what it is?
Was it chicken feet? Like...
Goat hooves.
Goat hooves.
The hooves, yeah. The hooves version. And that's why it's so interesting to me that there are multiple versions of the El Camaroncito story, because in some, he has goat hooves. In some, he has chicken feet. And I don't know where the chicken feet comes from. I haven't found anything that oh, well, this is why we're talking about chicken feet.
I mean, just think about it. A man with, like, human-sized chicken feet, like, that's very unsettling.
That's horrifying.
That's what I'm saying. I think it had to do with just completing the whole unsettling image of what this event or night was.
Well, even a normal-sized chicken is horrifying.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because they're dinosaurs, but...
Small dinosaurs.
Like, just, I don't know.
Have you ever watched a group of chickens go after a rat?
Yeah.
It's awful.
I've seen them dig one up before. Like, all of a sudden you see the dirt moving and you're like, oh no, what are they pecking at? And all of a sudden they bring a little field mice out.
Oh God.
It's crazy.
Awfulness.
Anyway.
What were you saying?
No, I was just saying that I think that's why the chicken legs were a thing. Because I've also heard one of each. Like, one chicken leg, one goat hoof.
Oh, and again, interesting.
Again, you have to think of, like, the unsettling image of that. That's fucking crazy, dude. Like, what do you mean? I feel like I'm saying, like, a lot. I'm sorry.
No. You're making the point.
But I think the whole unsettling image is what they were going for. Like, okay. To kind of complete it. And, I mean, the devil in and of itself is terrifying enough. But, like, hey, let's just throw adult-size chicken feet and adult-size goat hooves just poking out from underneath his clothes.
Would it be scarier if he was a full-grown man with regular chicken-sized chicken feet? Or... are giant chicken feet proportionate to the body of a human man? Or is that
scarier? Isn't that the same thing?
No. Like, imagine someone my height, okay?
Okay.
I'm like 5'7", but I have chicken feet the size of regular chicken's feet, like just a few inches.
So you would be tiny, though. You wouldn't still be 5'7". How would you be 5'7"?
A regular-sized man with tiny feet.
So, like, flat on your shin?
No, just tiny little chicken feet.
I don't understand it.
Exactly. It defies comprehension. It's so horrifying. So there are a couple other versions of the story I've run across, and one that seems to be recurring, including in the comment thread on the San Antonio Memories group, is the idea that in the olden days, and no one has identified specifically what the olden days is or when the olden days is, but... it was normal for a woman's mother to escort her to the dance hall or to accompany her out on the town, you know, chaperoning effectively. And that one night a young
does
lady...
Does this have to tie to, like, Hispanic culture?
I don't know. So, okay. This is just what I've read in a couple accounts of this story on, like, blogs and local newspapers, and then also in the comments of people who are from this neighborhood, I keep referring back to.
Okay. Sorry, I just wasn't sure.
No, okay, glad continue. You asked. I'm yeah. Sorry. But this variation of the story involves, you know, basically mom saying, "Hey, we're not going out tonight. You're staying in. I don't want to go. Whatever." And the young lady saying, "No, I'm going anyway." And that's why she runs into the devil, because she
was immoral, dishonest.
Yeah, even. Yeah. And a question I had for you as someone who grew up in this neighborhood and very deeply steeped in Hispanic Catholic culture,
mm-hmm.
the Hispanic Catholic culture of Westside San Antonio, do you think this is in any way a cautionary tale, kind of pointed towards young people? Like, hey, stay away from dancing, stay away from bars. You know,
I could definitely see that. That's why I asked if you were referring to Hispanic culture as having the mother escort the daughter, because I mean,
is that a thing?
We do have, like, you know, our communions, and we have our quinceañeras, and we have things that we kind of follow as tradition because the people, you know, our families before it mm-hmm. did that. And so I can kind of see where, like, in a Hispanic Latin culture, where it would be a mom escorting the daughter to a dance hall.
Okay.
I don't know if that would really be happening in the 70s. I mean, maybe I could probably see it more in the
75.
So I could probably see it happening more in like the 50s, 60s. I'm not so sure about the 70s. My mom was born 59, so she was, I'm trying to think, like around that age, I think, of going to bars and clubs. So that's what's interesting, because she, well, wait, no, wait, 59, no, she'd be still young.
She would have been like a kid, right?
Yeah, sorry, I completely fucked
no,
that
no, no,
up.
No. But that's part of what I wanted to talk about tonight, is because I asked multiple people who are local natives of not only San Antonio, but this neighborhood in particular. Would you be willing to say that you were there that night in 1975, or do you know anyone who is willing to say that they were there? And in every case, the answer is no. I could not find a person, and I think I asked quite a few people, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I do have a pretty large family.
Yeah, yeah, I asked a pretty good number of people. Who are alive, or whose parents were alive at the time,
yeah.
or, you know, one or the other. Contemporaries of this legend who all said, no, I don't know anyone that was there.
They do tout it as fact also, by the
yes.
way. Like, let's
yes.
put that out there, because it's...
And I'm more on the believing side of things than the non-believing side. I think Sarah is probably the more skeptical of the two of us.
I think I would agree.
But it's interesting to me... Okay, one, it's interesting to me that this story goes back over 500 years, that we can trace its roots at least as far back as 1500s Ireland. But it's also interesting to me that there are differences, key differences. The story in San Antonio seems very much themed upon morality and avoiding hedonistic.
It just sounds like an Americanized or whitewashed version of, like, this is going to sound really stupid, and maybe you'll have to edit this out because I don't want to sound stupid. But, like, in my head, I'm thinking of Chicago, which was a cautionary tale about jazz. Like, oh, if you listen to jazz music, you're going to drink and you're going to shoot people.
Yeah.
So, like, here's this where it's like, oh, you don't want to go out on your own without your parents escorting you, because if you don't heed your mother's advice and go against her wishes, you might meet the devil that was wrong.
One interesting
that
parallel.
That sounds stupid now that I've said that.
Well, no, but it makes sense.
Like, that's what I'm thinking of in my head. I don't know what you would call that, but...
Whether something actually happened on Halloween night in 1975, or whether this was just an old story that someone's abuela adapted into a cautionary tale,
yeah.
You know? Or, there's a third explanation, which I'm particularly fond of. Deep in our ancestral memory, far, far back in the literature and lore of humankind, there is a spectral being which has been dancing his way from party to party since at least the 1500s, and at least as recently as 1975. The dancing devil of the Hellfire Club and San Antonio, and who knows where else. What do you think about that?
I think that'd be interesting.
I think it's a cool idea.
I think it'd be interesting.
I think it's a cool idea. On the whole, this is a very interesting story, which leaves a lot of room for speculation. And we will never know conclusively what happened on Halloween night in 1975 or what happened in the Hellfire Club in the 1500s. But if we're talking about local folklore, And we're trying to find parallels to historical folklore. I mean, this is a great example, I think.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that until you had brought it up the first time when we were talking about it.
One interesting parallel between the Hellfire Club story and the El Camaroncito story is that... So in the Hellfire Club, when the, you know, people noticed that he had goat's hooves, he disappeared. Just disappeared and left the smell of sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
Behind.
Mm-hmm.
In the El Camaroncito story, when people noticed that his feet were not human feet, he ran into a back room, either a restroom or a storage room, it's not clear. And then when, you know, they busted down the door to try to get to him, he was gone and there was the smell of sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting parallels there, because that's kind of a specific thing. You know,
I don't think the smell of
sulfur, like, oh, don't go outside, you might meet the devil. And you smell sulfur also. That specifically is what got my attention as a parallel between these two stories, was the smell of sulfur. It wasn't even the feet or the alleged disappearance. It was the
smell. I just feel like any type of devil or demon sighting even, or interaction, does have like a hint of sulfur. Because I feel that's always kind of correlated to hell. And
don't we hear that referenced in other paranormal accounts that may concern demons or
hauntings? That's what I'm saying. I feel like anytime I've heard about not poltergeist, what am I thinking, just like hauntings where they feel a devil is involved, smell of sulfur is always like one of the side things.
Very interesting. So again, we could theorize that the you know, mother or abuela or whoever maybe heard this old Hellfire Club story and was like, I'm going to adapt this to the modern day, and I'm going to mention the sulfur smell as well. We could argue that. That's a possibility.
Sure.
I don't know, though. Whenever we get into these stories that go back so far but then crop up again in the modern day, and we could dig into a lot of different paranormal lore, and come up with a bunch of examples, but let's not go too far down that rabbit hole right now. I have to stop for a second and go, but why? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why did this pop up so long ago, and then why did it pop up again?
Now, yeah.
Yeah. I guess a good example would be Sasquatch, because we can go very, very far back in human literature and find references to wild men and hairy men, Native American lore, you know. And then we have modern day sightings where people are reporting seeing the same thing. I guess it kind of parallels that for me a little bit. So I did rabbit hole one example, but I just find this one fascinating. I find it really interesting. We did recently, as we said earlier, visit the site of El Camaroncito. If you would like to see pictures, they are on our Instagram feed. It is private property. It is maintained by a current owner. The graffiti that we mentioned a little while ago has since been covered up.
Mm-hmm.
So someone is keeping an eye on it. Someone does own it. Do not go to this address and break in, please. One, you could be injured. There are probably people squatting there. Two, it's private property. Just don't do that. But if you would like to go, it is on Enrique Barrera Parkway. I believe the closest cross street is 34th?
I think so, yeah.
I believe it's 34th Street. So not too difficult to find if you're familiar with the geography of San Antonio.
I didn't even realize it was that I grew up knowing that it was within walking distance because I would walk to different neighborhood streets and visit friends. But like until I was an adult and kind of understood what was supposed to be happening in the story and drove past it, I didn't realize it was that close.
Right there. And this is a story that has, you know, I mean, you just Google it. It's all over the internet. Like, there are quite a few websites that have covered it. In fact, Snopes.com, the famous debunking website. I don't know if you can call them a debunking website.
Have they done one on the train tracks?
I don't know.
I think they have.
The San Antonio train tracks are an interesting story. But Snopes.com, considered to be one of the more reliable sources of information out there when it comes to urban legends and things of that nature, has this story listed as not true, not false, but legend. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, because it could be true.
Thank you for tuning in to Hey Strangeness. My name is Aaron.
My name is Sarah.
And we have thoroughly enjoyed our time with you tonight. If we have gotten anything wrong historically... otherwise, during our episode tonight, please feel free to send us a message and let us know. And if you understand audio editing and RSS feeds, you can definitely let me know about that too, because I'm still trying to figure all that out. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye.